Propaganda works, but it works a lot better on social media.
People don't really turn on their filter and say, hey, maybe I should, you know, be judgmental about this information because I chose to subscribe to this feed or I friended this person.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. We keep hearing about the Russian propaganda efforts that played out on Facebook, Google, and Twitter during the 2016 presidential campaign. Facebook told us this month that it suspended two accounts that may have had ties to Russian operatives with very different messages. The account Blacktivist accrued more followers than the official Black Lives Matter account did. And another one called Secured Borders called for a crackdown on illegal immigration. But while the medium and the tools may be 21st century, the rules of propaganda are as old as politics themselves. Wendy Schiller is a political science professor at Brown University.
Well, propaganda works in that people create a funnel of information. They can persuade people to go to one source. If you can get over that hurdle, it's much easier to persuade or brainwash people because they are only listening to that source that they deem most credible. And then you simply repeat, repeat, repeat. You can do different forms, but you keep the same theme so that people literally internalize it as truth. And it's very effective, particularly with the advent of technology over even the 20th century, you go from radio, you go from radio to television, then you go to television to cable. And anybody who's wanted to persuade a lot of people at one time masters that technology.
How does social media then change the way it works? Is it really just a matter of reaching more people?
I think fundamentally, it's a matter of reaching more people. But second, it's also a false sense of control over the filter because I have the ability to filter people out or filter sites out and then welcome them in to my newsfeed. So I think I have control over the information that I'm receiving. But in fact, if I'm continuing to receive false information from a source I think I should trust, then I'm still being manipulated. So that's what compounds the problem here. People don't really turn on their filter and say, hey, maybe I should, you know, be judgmental about this information because I chose to subscribe to this feed or I actually shared this website or I friended this person.
Well, and I guess that's the interesting question, right? Is that on some level, these techniques benefit not just propagandists, but our own politicians, our own companies, anybody with some sort of vested interest in us believing a certain thing. And so it feels like an uphill battle just as a little lowly consumer.
Absolutely. And, you know, this started in, you know, the whole use of even polling and politics, it all started in the 1910s, 1920s with companies, corporations that wanted to use mass marketing. They wanted to sell products and they wanted to figure out better marketing techniques. And then the politicians figured out that they could use those same marketing techniques to advance their cause and get reelected. So it sort of bled in from the business world.
Now, back to the fake accounts, they encouraged opinions, but not necessarily the same opinions. Why would Russians or anybody have an interest in encouraging extreme views generally?
I think Russia, particularly under Putin, it was and still is very interested in disrupting the United States as a world leader, literally fomenting internal divide, internal dissent, and a challenge to the fundamental values of what the American democracy is, because they run completely counter to what Russia's values are and the way Russia runs its government. And if you can disrupt or shake the foundation of that among the American people, you might find yourself more sympathetic to the Russian way of life. If things get too chaotic, too much anarchy, then people will want law and order. And then if they want law and order, they're more likely to give authoritarian power over to somebody who might be friendlier to Russia rather than non-friendly and undermines the United States' world standing. And Russia continues to see us as their number one challenger in that realm.
And some have argued that candidates and politicians and activists should learn from these efforts, should use them to advance their own causes. I mean, is everything propaganda in the end?
Well, I mean, I think that's the trap that, of course, people like the Russians or the North Koreans or anybody who uses propaganda would like us to fall into, that the people who might be advocating for more freedom or more equality or more factual content might resort to this kind of technique, and then everybody's doing it. And then there's no charges on any, you know, left or right or Republican or Democrat about who's misusing the system. So that is something we don't want to do. I think every time somebody hears something that's factually suspicious or incorrect, whether it's your friend or your relative or anybody, challenge it. Just say, well, where's the evidence? Where did you hear that? Where did you learn that? And if we keep doing that as a collective, I think we can get us back a little bit to a point where we all agree on the same factual evidence in any given situation.
Well, so what can people do? We've been kicking around this line, this great, in the Harry Potter series, there's this wonderful line that says, and I'm sort of paraphrasing, never trust anything that can't show you its brain or can't show you how it thinks. I mean, is that how people need to approach social media and deciding who to follow? And do you feel confident that they can?
Well, there's two things they can do. First of all, is, you know, the old Reagan expression with Gorbachev in Russia, trust but verify, right? Always verify. Never take one thing and say, okay, it's true. Look for other confirming evidence. But the second thing is, if you get a sort of a direct reply on Twitter, for example, or Instagram or something, then reply back with language that is not simple, you know, more sort of straight English language, but more complicated language, and see what kind of response you get. So if you get a canned or a packaged response, you know that this is an human being that's interacting with you. You know it's a bot. So that's another way of testing out somebody who might be trying to persuade you or give you information. Are they really a human being? Be more complicated in the way you ask questions or the way you respond and see how they respond.
Now, while Facebook, Twitter, and Google are all meeting with congressional committees over their potential roles in the 2016 election, the three sites are also partnering with G7 member countries to identify ISIS propaganda and get it removed from social media within just hours of posting. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.